Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
Welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay! This season is sponsored by our friends at Flywheel, who've hosted our Creative Class website for years.
They're who we trust for reliable service and top-notch customer support.
They also take care of everything, from security to nightly backups to free demo sites.
Check out getflywheel.com/friends/CC and use the code CCPODCAST to get 50% off your first month of any plan.
Hooray.
Okay, so in this episode, we're going to talk about a topic that I think a lot of people have near and dear to their hearts, and that's social media. And I say that kind of sarcastically because I think a lot of us probably are a little over-invested in social media. I'm raising my hand, but you can't see it. And so I'm glad that we're talking about this because there's a lot to be said, and there's a lot to be said for personal use, for business use. And that's kind of what I want to get into in this episode is both of those worlds and basically like using social media and getting a lot out of it and also having healthy boundaries too. Because again, that's kind of our theme this season is better boundaries. So I'll let you kick things off. Let's start with social media. Let's talk about it.
All right. I get asked this a lot too. I guess I don't get asked like, hey, social media, because that's not actually a question. But I guess I get asked, because I have a pretty hard stance on social media, like it's no secret that I hate Facebook and Instagram because they're the same company, and I hate LinkedIn, and I don't use those services, and I've never used those services. And so people, I think, have a lot of questions for me around that, or even just a lot of like, well, it's okay for you to not use those platforms, but like I'm just starting out or I don't have an audience. And so I need to use those things. And I think that if it was a simple answer, the episode would be over. Like, hey, use social media, or hey, don't use social media. So I think for me, it comes down to like what platform I want to support, what platform I want to have access to the data that I put on it, which we talked a lot about in the privacy episode.
Right.
But also for me, it's like, it's because I'm old, Kaylee, because I remember freelancing before social media existed. And I did freelance for a long time. So did a lot of people before there was social media. So I've never seen it as a necessary tool. I've always seen it as something that can be used, but something that doesn't necessarily have to be, as well as something that doesn't have to be used all the time on every platform. I guess I find it really difficult, or I would find it really difficult if I had to do all the work that I have to do all of the business around the work I have to do, and like check Twitter, check Instagram, check Facebook, check LinkedIn, check Pinterest, check TikTok. I don't actually know what TikTok is.
We're not cool enough for that.
We're not. But I think that it would be too much work and I would be spread too thin to try to use all of the platforms, to try to exist on all the platforms, to try to communicate with my audience on all the platforms. Because the only reason that I'm on social media at all, the only reason I'm on, well, Twitter at all, is because it's connection. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't use it for business. I rarely tweet about businessy things, but I mostly just use it to talk to other people like you and to other people that I know, or sometimes to customers or to like new people who I find interesting. And I'm like, oh, it would be cool to like have a conversation off of Twitter with those people. I think you and I even first started talking on Twitter, mm-hmm. and then moved it to talking on Skype and then working together and now recording this podcast. So that's kind of the way that I see it. Is this not a necessary thing? It's just an added bonus. And I think it's an added bonus for people like us and for a lot of the people that listen who don't have like a water cooler at an office, because mm-hmm. we don't have an office. We might have a water cooler. I don't know. I just have a like filter in my fridge that filters water. But like, it's just a good place to kind of vent or chat or catch up or just like share things and have conversations with like-minded people, regardless of where they are in the world. And so I kind of treat it like that. I really don't care about like the business aspect of it, but I'm curious all of your thinks
yeah.
on this.
No, I think that you summed that up really nicely. And I feel like you really touched on a huge point of stress for a lot of freelancers is that it's exactly what you said. They feel like they have to be in all of the places, talking to all of the people all of the time. And that it's just not doable. It's just not feasible most of the time based on the amount of hours in the day and, you know, getting your client work done. And so a lot of people that I talk to in the freelance writer category will say stuff like, well, where do I devote my time then? Like, where should I focus my energy? And so for me, the first question I always ask back when that comes up is, well, ask yourself why. Like, what am I trying to accomplish with using social media? And I think that that's kind of the approach that you and I take too when looking at something like Twitter, which is what we both use primarily as far as social media goes. And so for us, it's a way to fill the gap of community and like human interaction and talking to people who do similar work to what we do or that are peers or that we know from past lives doing different jobs or whatever it may be. And so in my experience, I haven't found it to be a great tool for necessarily like getting people to hire me. I think that it's more indirectly, it happens sometimes through relationship building and doing things like you said, like talking to somebody over a long period of time and then saying, hey, let's do a Skype date and really working on developing a friendship almost like you would in real life. But it's never been a really successful tool as far as like building thought leadership or sharing articles or directing a lot of traffic and leads to my website. In my experience, it's not great for any of those things because people don't go to those channels often thinking, ooh, I can't wait to find the next person I'm going to hire on Twitter. Sometimes there are scenarios where people will go and they will ask for referrals, but I feel like that's the one unique use case where that could happen. And so I think it all goes back to asking yourself, what am I trying to accomplish? Based on that answer, who am I trying to reach and where do they spend the most time? And so if you can answer those simple questions, that's going to give you a good direction on where to go and how to inform, I guess, the amount of time that you invest into that. And, you know, we can talk extensively about that and like different ways to use Twitter, but I feel like that's a pretty good high level answer. I wanted to ask you, because you're kind of a unique use case when it comes to social media. You take breaks, you take hard breaks throughout the year where you just don't even use it at all. Have you found that that has a negative impact on the work that you do or that it doesn't really matter? Because that's a question that I just have in general. If you take breaks from it and you need to just walk away completely, like how does that impact your effectiveness, I guess, on social channels?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't ever look at the effectiveness of like, oh, how many clicks did this tweet get? Or like, how is my followers increased or decreased? So I don't really look at that, but I do 100% notice that if I'm off of social media for a month or two, I'm generally happier, which is kind of interesting. And I guess I'm a glutton for punishment because I do actually come back to Twitter. So I guess in general, I'm happier because I don't worry about it or think about it. Like after a few days, I'm like, what's Twitter? And like my wife will say like, oh, did you see such and such news on Twitter? I'm like, nope, still not on there. I also do enjoy the positive aspects of it, which is like talking to people that I like and making connections and finding new interesting people to pay attention to. But there's also like, I get also a lot of shit thrown at me from Twitter. And I delete tweets sometimes if I'm like, I'll say something and I mean something specific and then a bunch of people take it the wrong way. And I'm just like, instead of dealing with this, I'm just going to delete it. And I have deleted all of my tweets a few times. And I know that they're still available like on Wayback Machine and stuff like that. I'm just like, I just want to like clean slate this whole thing. But I also want to talk about rules a bit with you with social media, because I know for me, somebody that was doing an interview with me DM'd me the other day and she was like, oh, I haven't heard back from you. And I told her, I'm like, I don't actually check anything between like 4 p.m. and 7 a.m. the next day, like no email, no Twitter, no anything. She's like, how do you run your business? I'm like, I just do. Like, I just don't care enough. So I don't have social media on my phone. I don't have email on my phone. I actually don't have anything on my phone except for tools like maps and to-do lists and grocery lists. So I use Twitter during the day on and off, but I don't have any notifications. So like if somebody adds me, I don't know, somebody DMs me, I don't know, I don't get an email. I know some people, you can set it up to like get an email if those things happen. I don't have any of that. So I don't know what's happening on Twitter unless I log in. And I only really check Twitter a bit during the day. And that's about it. I'm wondering if you have any like rules or regulations around your social media usage.
God, I probably need some. I'm at the other end of the spectrum on this. I'm a chronic checker. And so while I don't have push notifications enabled on my email, I do find myself like opening social apps quite a bit and going and refreshing the feed and looking at messages and looking at at replies and stuff like that. So I feel like I would probably benefit from some better boundaries. And again, I think that's kind of what prompted that question for me around you just taking a hard break from it sometimes, because I know that that sounds appealing to me sometimes, but I have this fear of, oh, if I disappear, everyone will forget about me, which is probably an irrational fear. That's a very modern problem, but I don't know. I'm bad about it. And I, like I said, I feel like it's a big, look at me. I feel like I'm in a therapy session right now. It's a big problem for me because I feel really isolated where I live a lot of the time. So I really lean on those social outlets for my interaction and for my friendships and stuff like that. And so that needing to feel connected is something I struggle with and that I have a hard time stepping away from too, because that fear of missing out on something or that fear of being left behind compels me to keep checking. And it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. And that is wholly understandable and human to have those feels, right?
Sure.
But I also think if you think about that, would it be okay if like a friend of yours texted you as many times as you refresh your feed every day?
No.
Or called you. I'm just bringing up a point. I'm not a psychologist, but I just think that if we frame it in a different way, it seems like our actions sometimes are ridiculous if we think about them through a different lens, whereas they feel so societally normal to like pick up our phone. Like some people, when Apple introduced that like screen time app, and people are like tweeting like, oh yeah, I picked up my phone like 200 or 300 times today. And I think that's about the average, is like 200 or 300 pickups.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if anybody bugged me 200 or 300 times a day, like, Jesus, would I be pissed off if somebody interrupted me 200 or 300 times a day? Like, I think I pick up my phone, I guess somewhere between like 11 and 30 times, depending on what I'm doing. And I'm like, even that, I'm like, I feel bad that I like look at my phone that many times. And then I look at the average and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't feel bad, but maybe I should, because why am I picking up my phone? Like, I've like entertained the idea of just not having a cell phone a lot of times. But I do need it, which is so dumb. Like I shouldn't need a cell phone. But like, so I need it for home automation and security, because Nest and Hue and a couple other things run through iPhone apps. And I do like it for things like listening to music or podcasts, especially in the car, or like having navigation, because none of the nav systems in any of my vehicles are very good. Mm. But like Google Maps or what's the other one, Waze or whatever, are actually really good. And like grocery shopping, I kind of need that list, because I'll get to the grocery. It takes me an hour to get to a grocery store. I've forgotten all of the things I need when I get there.
Of course.
Like, I need my phone. Like I feel like an idiot holding my phone or walking around a grocery store, but like I need to know what I need.
Right.
And this has all happened in the space. Like this dependency has all happened in the space of like, I don't know, less than a decade. Mm-hmm. Like life wasn't like this 10, 15 years ago, or wasn't like this to the extent that it is now that long ago. And that's what I always come back to with business and freelancing, is like, people are like, well, I need social media for my business. I'm like, but if you had been doing this like a little while ago, like not that long ago, then if social media didn't exist, like what would you be doing differently?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very valid point. Freelancing is hard enough, so why not let someone else take care of hosting for your clients?
That's why Flywheel created a simple platform that makes it a breeze to build WordPress sites, collaborate with clients, and seamlessly offload the finished product, all from the same place. Trust us. With a WordPress solution this smooth, you'll have tons of time to book new freelance business.
So why do we think Flywheel is the best WordPress hosting for clients?
Well, those free demo sites are pretty awesome. That way you don't have to pay until you go live.
They also have easy to transfer billing to a client once you finish up the project, or you can get them to pay right from the start while you set things up.
So never worry about a client calling you at 2 a.m. because their site is down. Flywheel has servers around the world and tech on standby 24/7. They even back your websites up nightly and will clean up your WordPress site if it gets hacked.
Check out getflywheel.com/friends/CC and use the code CCPODCAST to snag 50% off your first month of any plan. So that kind of segues us nicely then to, for the people who do want to use it and want to have some healthy boundaries and want to spend the time that they do invest into social media wisely and get as much as possible as they can out of it, what kind of tips do you have for people as far as like which platforms to use, how much time to invest, if there are like specific things you think are best practices, those types of things?
Yeah, I think that it's funny. This is like so long. One of my friends said this like around the time that social media started to become the norm. And he was like, social media is like being at a party where everybody's high on cocaine because everybody's talking and nobody's listening.
That's true.
And it's fun. One, I don't know what parties with cocaine are like because I don't know anything about drugs. Yeah, me either.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. But I also think that it's wrong. Because I feel like if I'm using social media successfully, then I'm participating. It feels like the value I get from social is actively connecting with other people. The bad part of social is when I just use it to do, like we were talking about, like I'm just mindlessly refreshing my feed. I'm getting no value from that. I'm playing a slot machine and I can go to a casino to do that. And it's basically the same thing. So I think for me, it's participating. It's being engaged in conversation, being engaged in connecting with others. Because if I think about it, and I think you're the same, like that's the benefit I get from it that I can't get from something else. Like I can't just every day call all the people around the world that I know that do the similar things that we do and like have a conversation with them. But I can have like a little back and forth with them on the Twitter.
Yeah, I agree.
How about you?
Yeah, it's the same for me. Participation is huge. And, you know, it's so easy to just hop on a platform like Twitter and consume and kind of lurk in the shadows and not really speak to anyone and just be there, but, you know, not participate, kind of be on the virtual sidelines. And so for me, what's been really effective is being very deliberate about having conversations and interacting with people. And I think a big part of what's made that easier for me is I don't follow a lot of people. So the people that I do interact with, it's people that I know that I want to talk to that have some sort of relevant tie. So it is a little bit strategic in that I don't just follow anyone and everyone. I don't follow a lot of unnecessary accounts. So when I do go to a platform like Twitter, the time I spend there and the content that I see is focused. And it's really easy to get a lot of noise in that feed and to have just so much content there that you can't get through any of it. It's just too much to wade through. So I think that for me has been really helpful, just being very selective and being very deliberate about interaction and, again, participation, like raising my hand when I have something to say or reaching out to somebody and contributing a thought if they've shared something interesting or, you know, doing things like that where you're not just sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, I agree. And that's just like people called me out for like, oh, you don't follow anybody on Twitter because or like, oh, you're doing this thing where like a lot of people follow you and like you don't follow a lot of people to make yourself look cool. And it's like, no, I know I don't look cool. That's never a question. But I can't follow more than a couple hundred people and pay attention. Like even the number of people I follow now, I like is just about at the limit for like, if I'm following somebody, it's because I want to pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. If I follow too many people, I can't pay attention to anybody. So I know that if I follow more people, it's just going to make it worse for me. So I just don't want to follow a ton of people. If that makes people not want to follow me, that's totally understandable. But I don't want it to consume a lot of my time. So I don't want to follow a lot of people. So my feed isn't full. I also have a ton of things, like because I use Twitter from Firefox and I have ad blockers. So all of those ads, it's mostly McDonald's right now. I don't know why. And I can dismiss them or report them as abusive and they still show up in my feed. So I have all the ads blocked. I have Moments blocked, like Moments don't show up. And these are all just like extensions in my browser. I have the sidebars turned off so I can't see trends because it's always some sports thing I don't know or something related to reality TV that I probably already know or is like a giveaway for something I'm going to watch because I recorded it on my PVR and I haven't got to it yet. So the way that I use Twitter is pretty minimal just with like browser extensions because like I just want to see the things I need to see. I don't need to see, like I don't need to get sucked in, down rabbit holes with it. So I also try to make it intentional with kind of like the way that it's set up as well.
Yeah. Another thing I've seen people do that's kind of on that same note is that if there's people that they are really wanting to focus on and interact with and build relationships with, they'll create a list using that feature within Twitter. And so rather than having to dig through all of the posts that have been popping up in the feed, they can just go to that list and look at the posts from that specific group of people. So if there are like editors that maybe you want to work with, or you're trying to build a relationship, or potential clients, or somebody who does similar work to you, that I guess is a way to weed out some of the noise and really focus in on the people that you're really wanting to interact with most.
For sure.
Strategery.
I like that word. We'll get it added to the dictionary at some point.
Yes.
So I guess the other thing, did we talk about this or not? I'm bad. But I think the one other thing that I think that we should talk about is that the specific platform doesn't matter. I think you and I picked Twitter because Twitter is where the people we want to interact with are. And maybe for somebody else, it's Instagram. Or mm-hmm. like I could see for photographers, it's probably like Instagram or Flickr, if that's even a social network. So I don't think it matters. Like if Facebook is where all your people are, then use Facebook. Like
right.
I think that it more matters what works for you and your business and how you want to use it, your intentions for using social in the first place, than like just, oh, Paul and Kaylee use Twitter, I should use Twitter. It's like, no, it's not that easy. We use it because that's a platform that works the best, that we get the most out of.
Right. I think that's a good point. And that's a good part of your market research too, is like, where are your people? Figuring that out is going to help you with a lot more than just being good at social media. It's going to help you with your business. It's going to help you with your positioning. It's going to help you better understand the people that maybe you're writing for or designing for or photographing, whatever it may be. And so, yeah, I think that that's a great point to remember, is that, again, you don't have to be in all of the places. You don't have to post on all of the networks. You can find one or maybe two if you are really ambitious and lean into those. And that's fine. Like, let that be enough.
Yeah. And I think the main point here is that social media can be a tool if we're a bit more intentional with the way that we use it, instead of like if we're using it a bit more, sounds so new agey. I feel like this should be an article on Goop. But like if we're a bit more mindful about the way that we use it, and we use it more as a tool and less as just, I have 5 seconds to spare, I'm just going to start refreshing my feed. It can be useful. Like I come off pretty harshly about social media, but I still use it because I think it is useful if I'm using it in a way that works for me and not just a like refresh slot machine.
Mm-hmm. Namaste to that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review there.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class.
You can find it at creativeclass.co.
Yes.